Welcome, everyone. And gang, thanks for joining us on the first full episode of OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales. We are really excited to jump in today, get things started. I've spent about 2 months reaching out and talking to a number of sales professionals, some amazing sales leaders, trying to build some good content for us to share and talk about. The goal here is a lively and spirited conversation. We're going to explain things. We're going to share things. We're going to debate things, and we're going to have a lot of fun. If you're in sales, if you just like talking to people, if you're a sales leader or looking to grow into management, we hope you're going to find something to truly enjoy here. We also hope that you'll engage with us, whether it's through LinkedIn, going to our website, or listening to the podcast and sharing it with friends and coworkers. We hope to engage with you every week. Well, I am Tom Bloomer. I'm your resident baby boomer on this podcast. I truly hope that my sales and leadership experience can help you in your sales career or your growth as a sales leader. My wife, Kelly, and I have worked very hard to put this together. I'm not going to waste any more time before we get started, other than to tell you, you've got some really exciting people who all want to share and engage with you coming up each and every week. And we are honored to start this week with Donna Baez, one of the most passionate sales leaders I've ever worked with. She's going to be our first guest, and we're going to get started in just a second. So Kelly, in a few minutes, our guest Donna Baez is going to talk about some of the different regions that she's been selling in. I've got to ask you, after listening to the taping, what popped in your mind? What have you most enjoyed visiting?
I would have to say Phoenix, Arizona.
Really?
It was beautiful. The weather was great. How could you not like being out there?
It is always beautiful.
And then the time that we took the kids, Ryan just sitting there saying he could breathe. How can you not be excited about your child being able to breathe, not having any allergies?
That's a pretty cool feature.
Yes, it was.
And the sun is, it always seems like the sun is shining. I know whenever I would call home, I'd be up and you'd be getting up ready with the kids, and it would be what, like 6:30, 7 o'clock at home. And back there, it was like 4 a.m. Even then, it was just beautiful weather out there.
And there were a few times you called and I was shoveling. We won't talk about those though.
Yeah, no, I kind of liked those trips.
Yeah,
there were
sure.
a few snowstorms I missed, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah. Travel is okay. Yeah. Well, great. I'm very interested, as I knew you were, to hear about where Donna preferred to work. So
exactly.
I'm sure our listeners want to know. So we're going to jump right into our interview today with Donna.
Okay.
Hi, this is Kayla from South Jersey. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
Okay, so we are going to jump right in today with Donna Baez. Donna joins us with over 30 years of experience in direct mail advertising sales. And Donna, you started right fresh out of college. Give us an idea. How did you go from the college campus into sales?
I went to FIU in Miami. Yeah, I majored in advertising and minored in marketing. I was really wanted to go to NYU for advertising, but circumstances were, it was really expensive. And FIU said, hey, we'll give you a full academic scholarship. So I said, let's work the numbers here. There were no numbers to work. It was basically free. So I went there. It was actually a really good program. And you know what? The campus is right on the Intercoastal. So it was absolutely gorgeous. Between classes and everything. So it made it nicer even there.
Wow. Sounds like the same view of New York, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially in the winter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really wanted to go work at an ad agency. But my professors were like, you might want to rethink that a little bit. I had no idea about sales. I didn't think I could sell. I knew nothing about sales. FIU hosted a job fair. And one of the companies that was there was a direct mail company called The Flyer, owned by Hart Hanks, which is the same as the Penny Saver out in California, which actually Clipper owns now, The Flyer. So I did a job fair there and I got hired. So they basically had me start the day after I took my last final. So I missed graduation because I had to start because the manager was going on vacation. So that's how I got my feet wet.
So Donna, you and I, we worked together for a number of years at Clipper, never on the same team, never in the same region. But from afar, I always really appreciated what you were doing and the impact that you were having on the company in your regions. You told us you started in sales, you went into sales management. Where did you kind of progress from there with the company?
So I did sales management in South Florida, and then I moved over to the West Coast of Florida, thinking that I was going to just stay over there, but I really missed my team in South Florida and what I was doing. So I actually made the commute back and forth every day, which was about 300 miles a day. So I can manage my team and work with my team in South Florida. And then I also was going up to Sarasota and the Tampa area, helping out manage a market up there as well. So I was kind of jumping around those two. And then I ended up through a transfer with my husband up in Greenville, South Carolina. So there was an open management position there. So I did that. And then the Columbia market in South Carolina didn't have a manager. She had just quit. So they asked me to manage that market as well. So I was managing both of those. And then I got tapped to be a regional marketing manager where I was responsible for the Southeast in the regional markets, where it was a larger buy, mainly focused with home improvement businesses to work with the reps to build up these regional supplements that we had. Did that for a few years. Then I became the director of the regional division. So I was overseeing and leading the managers that were tapped in other parts of the country, as well as still handling the Southeast. And then I became the director of the sales development team.
Fantastic. And that, you know, I wanted our listeners to hear that so that as you're going to be sharing some ideas for them in a few minutes, you've worked pretty much in almost every capacity, from being out there on the street yourself in a variety of markets, working with reps in brand new startup areas, existing areas, pretty much you've seen it all in your time at Clipper. But in a minute, we're going to fast forward to 2020. And we're going to talk about, Donna, where we're at in 2020, because you, like I, are no longer with Clipper Magazine. COVID kind of sped along some of the decision-making process there. And we're both getting a restart, right? We're working on some things. I'm really interested in hearing a little bit about what you're doing, because not only are you relocating again, we've heard about all these beautiful southern cities, you're going to be moving somewhere slightly colder. And you mentioned you might be switching industries. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in 2020.
After I was in South Carolina, I ended up, my husband got transferred up to Michigan. So I've been for the past 2 years, been living in the cold tundra of Michigan. He got relocated again. So now I will be, by the end of the year, I will be in Wisconsin. Beautiful state, I will say that. Although it is a little bit cold for me. But with that being said, and being in advertising and media for over 30 years, I thought, you know, maybe this might be the time. Things happen for a reason. I try another industry. So I'm looking around. So I'm not just keeping my focus to media, because to tell you the truth, the market where I'm going to is a very small market. So the media opportunities aren't as great as they would be in a larger market, a metropolitan market like I came from in South Florida. So I am trying my hand at, you know, just kind of keeping an open mind and seeing what's out there. If anything, it's giving me a lot of interview practice.
But, you know, one of the things I'm a big believer in is I always say life is sales. And when you have a proven sales background like you do, I think going from one industry to the other, as long as it's something you're passionate about and you're going to enjoy selling, I think you're going to do a great job in it. So I'm interested to hear more as you go through that. All right, so Donna, one of the things that we talked about in your opening is all the different places that you've worked. And it really got me thinking for our segment today on kind of debating different things in life as sales. I wanted to talk about the different regions. Where is it harder to sell, easier to sell? What are some of the things that you've seen? Have you noticed any difference in the different markets?
You know, it's funny because the 21 years I was with Clipper and all the different markets I went to working with reps, they would say, oh, this market is so hard. You don't understand. And we have this and this market's hard. You know, you go somewhere else and they're this market's hard. And, you know, I talk to them, have a conversation. And why do you feel that way? What is, you know, because every market has their own nuances. So South Florida was very fast paced. A lot of competition, you know, so I would get reps going, there's too much competition here. Well, that's a good thing. Competition is great because that means that the business owners are spending money advertising. When I was in South Carolina, it was very easy to get into the door to speak with people the first time. Super easy. I thought this is a piece of cake, right? And they would talk to you for an hour. They would have great conversations. But they wouldn't buy. They wouldn't. It's a slower paced market. You're in the South. You know, they're very slow to move. No competition. That was the big key. There was no competition. Why was that? Well, they take so long to make a decision that it was just harder in that respect. But once you got them on board and you put some good ads out there and a good program for them, they stayed with you. So South Carolina was a lot harder to get the initial sign-ons, but they lasted longer and they were very long-term. Where in South Florida, you know, it was, you walk in the door and Joe from Joe's Pizza is like, oh, hey, tell me, he goes, I only got 2 minutes. What do you got? Is it better than what I'm doing now? And is it cheaper? And it was like bang, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So you had to change your style. So when I was in the South, it was very quick. When I was in South Carolina, it was very slow and meticulous and very, you know, in-depth questioning and conversation. So, and then in South Florida, because there was so much competition, they didn't want to sign long-term contracts. So it was a lot of 1, 2, and 3 timers, and then they would jump to the next thing that they thought was great. So every market has positives and negatives. I did not find one market easier than another market. It's just how you approach the market. And if you can identify where the differences are and change your selling style and questioning to kind of reflect that style of market, that's where you're going to have your success.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. You have to adjust, like you said, to what that market is doing. So the Northeast, I sold there for a long time and I loved your story because they weren't there, most of them, to make a friend. You know, what do you have? How much? How are you going to help me? I got to go do something else. And I managed out in the Phoenix and Tucson, Arizona areas for a while. And it took me, it was a culture shock because there people just wanted to, hey, sit down, tell me your story, let's talk, very friendly, no intention of buying from me, right? They knew they weren't going to buy anything, but they still wanted to spend time with me. Your pizza guy in New York, he's not going to spend time with you if he doesn't think he's going to buy from you. So interesting, and I'm sure we'll hear from some of our listeners where they feel it's easier or more difficult to sell in. All right, Donna, we're going to really get into the key message right now. And I got to tell you, I was very excited when we spoke a few days ago and you told me about the message that you wanted to bring to our listeners today. Years ago, when I first got started, it seemed like everything was about features and benefits and features and benefits. And today, it's not that. It's really trying to solve problems for people. Why don't you tell me, you know, what is that message you hope to share?
Well, the message is that you need to sell the problem you solve, not the product you have, okay? Because the product can be great, but the client might not need it. So it takes a lot of hustle and follow-up to gain a new client. Okay. So it's important to the success of both the client and the sales rep to make sure that what is being pitched or sold is the best product to meet the needs and goals of the client and not your needs. And the reason why I say this is I've spent a lot of time out in the field with reps on calls with clients. And they walk in, and before we walk in, I'm like, okay, so where are we going with this? And the rep would be like, well, I have a page I have to sell. So I'm going to go sell them this page. I'm like, well, is that what they need? And they go, well, I don't know. I haven't spoken to them yet, but I need to sell this page. I'm like, okay. So I have a conversation. Okay. I said, so yeah, you have to question and find out what their needs are, because you can sell them that page in an area, a small little area, but they could be a home improvement business that needs this much area. So that ad's going to come out and they're going to get no response. And then you're backpedaling.
All right, Donna. So let's start right in the beginning there. I think we need to understand the why, because I believe in their heart, every sales rep of any company wants to sell what's good for their client. You know, we all care about our client. They want to sell them the right product or service. Where does it go wrong and why?
Well, there's a lot of places where it can go wrong. The rep could have a quota, right? The manager's telling him you have to sell this much of this product. Well, they need to meet that quota, they feel, in order to, you know, have their job or whatever pressures the manager's putting on them. So they're going to call with the intention of selling a specific product instead of filling a need. They might feel uncomfortable with some of the products and the pricing. Maybe they feel that the pricing is too high, they're scared, so they're going to just go in and pitch the cheapest product to make a sale. There could be a sales contest tied into a certain product, and they want to win the contest and win the money that's tied into the contest, right? So now they're just in it for them.
It's bad to win a sales contest, Donna?
It's not bad to win a sales contest, but if you're making a sale based on trying to win a sales contest, that's bad.
Yeah. Short-term versus long-term, right?
Correct. Or, you know, maybe the rep just doesn't have a good understanding of the entire product suite, so they're only going to offer what they understand.
So Donna, let's talk about pipeline, because what I've seen a number of times is reps will be pushing that wrong product. You mentioned earlier in a magazine sale, they have one page left. So they're taking you today to see client X. I need to finish that last page. Is some of the problem here because we don't have enough prospects in our pipeline that we're putting the people in the wrong spots?
Absolutely, 100%. Again, I've spent so many hours in cars with reps, and you know, I could be in Chicago 1 week and then, you know, 6 weeks later, I'm back in Chicago, back in the car with that same rep. And guess what? He's taking me to the same people, the exact same people, trying to get them to buy. Because, you know, there definitely needs to be more in the pipeline, and it has to be a continuing, you know, top of mind awareness. I need to make a certain amount of calls a week to keep my pipeline filled. Yes, absolutely. That is one of the biggest problems.
All right, Donna, we all know how difficult it is to make a sale, right? This is not an easy profession for people. At the end of the day, we made a sale. So it may not have been the perfect product, but maybe we won that contest. Maybe we develop a relationship. What can really go wrong if we sell that wrong product to the client?
There's a lot that can go wrong, Tom. So you walk into the client, you're all excited, you have his magazine, and you drop it off in front of him. Okay. And then about a week later, week goes by, and he calls you up and he goes, did my magazine mail out? I didn't get any calls. I got nothing. Okay. Okay. I can put you in this product over here. Why didn't you put me there to begin with? You know, oh, well, it was already closed out or whatever. Well, then you wait You wait until you can get the client into the correct product because it's a lot better than backpedaling and you lost faith. Now you're not the expert anymore because you're supposed to be going in there as the expert on this business as far as what they need to increase their return on investment.
So right? You're going to lose some serious credibility if you start them off wrong.
Yep. Or you might lose them for good. Right. He might just say, you know what, you know, so-and-so came in, your competitor. I think I'm going to give them a shot. If you didn't have the right product for him at the time, because maybe it was past deadline for that issue, you wait and you go and you put them in the next time and you be honest with them. And that's where you earn your credibility. And that's where you get them the results.
Good. All right, Donna. So we know we need to sell them the right product. We know why and we know what can go wrong. But how can we best determine what product or service is right for each client?
Okay, so the number one rule is don't assume. Number two is questions, questions, questions. It is really important that you have a conversation and you ask open-ended, challenging questions that really get the business owner thinking. And you have to listen with the intent to understand what their needs are. One of the things that I learned, and I thought this was really cool, I read this somewhere and it actually works, is when you walk into a sales call and it's a new call, you've never been there before, sit down in front of them, ask if you can take notes and just have a blank sheet of paper, okay? And the goal of this blank sheet of paper is you ask questions, open-ended, thought-provoking questions that you take notes on. And as you're taking those notes, it's kind of generating more questions for you. So a lot of times what salespeople do is when they get in front of a client, they're too busy thinking about the next question and they're not listening to the answer from the client. So then there's this disconnect. In the end, when you try to present something and you're totally off base of where the client is, right?
Another great way to lose credibility quick, right? When they realize you weren't even listening to their answers.
Yeah. You know, and summarize what they're saying, you know, let them know you're listening, give them a nod head, give them, Okay. So what you're saying is this, do I understand this correctly? You know, let them know that you are actually paying attention to them and they will keep talking. And, you know, the more that they talk, the more this information that you're gathering is going to give you the tools necessary. Or they're telling you their story so you can, you know, give them the happy ending with the right product. But it's actively listening with the intent to understand what their needs are, you know, and then present your product.
All right, Donna, this has been a lot of fun, a lot of great content, and I really appreciate you sharing it with our listeners. But I want to make sure they have a real clear takeaway. So give us, what is your key takeaways for everyone today?
Okay, number one, just remember you need to solve their problems. So you need to sell the correct product to solve the problem, not what you need today, but what they need today. Ask good questions, open-ended, challenging questions. Listen with the intent to understand so you can keep the conversation going and making sure that you understand what their needs are so you can present with the best product. And walk away. If you truly do not have what this client needs at the moment, walk away. Walk away with referrals. You've already built credibility by saying you're not going to sell him anything today because you don't have anything to meet his needs, but maybe he knows other business owners that he's friends with that can use your services and your products. So ask for referrals.
Good. Especially after you've built up that credibility. Because
yeah,
then
don't lose that. Yeah.
So Donna, I have to ask, I see that amazing artwork behind you. What is a Clemson Tiger fan doing in Wolverine country? How do you hide that? Is this a room nobody else sees?
So we are huge Clemson Tiger fans. We lived in Greenville, South Carolina. My husband went to Clemson, played tennis on the Clemson men's tennis team. My son went to Clemson. We love Clemson and we fly our big orange Clemson flag proudly in our neighborhood with all the Michigan blue flags.
Very good. Very good. And I guess your team is somewhere up near the top again this year, I guess, right?
Yeah, we're kind of sort of somewhere up near the top there. But, you know, they don't really like us too much. So they think we have an easy schedule. But, hey, you know what? It's okay. It's fun. We love them.
Absolutely. Donna, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Boy, that was fun. And we really appreciate Donna joining us today. If you're looking to connect with Donna, you can reach out to her on LinkedIn. And if you are looking for a proven sales leader and you have a business anywhere in the Madison, Wisconsin area, you have a winner moving to town in a few weeks, I would definitely reach out to Donna. For our listeners, we talked early on, where is the hardest place you've ever been to try to make a sale? Where is the easiest you've ever been? If you've sold in Phoenix, if you've sold in South Carolina, Florida, or the Northeast, or anywhere, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on LinkedIn, connect, leave me a message, or just send me your comments on where you found the most difficult place to play and sell. So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week, and don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn at Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.